It's 4:45 on Downtown. Time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Right between Fiddlehead and Brahma Grill, Eric Meehan joining us in studio. Hello, sir.
Hello. I'm afraid. What are you digging around in that bag for?
A pencil.
Oh, okay.
Why? What'd you think I was reaching for?
Like a gun.
No.
Let's end Eric right here on air. Let's make it dramatic.
Another pen?
I couldn't blame you.
No, I would not do that.
No.
Oh, there.
There. God, we got pens. We got pencils. Nice. So, hey, everybody.
Hello.
I hope you all had a really nice Maine weekend. I had a nice Maine weekend. I love Maine weekends. Sometimes they're like too hot, too cold, but whatever. My kids made me get in the pool. That was excruciating. But
was it cold?
It was super cold. For me, I was having this conversation. I know for other men in particular, there's a place where it starts to hit you particularly. Yeah. But for me, it's actually my belly button. As soon as the water hits my belly button, I lose it. I'm just like, this is not going to happen. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen all at once right now. And that's
so,
why I do it.
You didn't wade in.
No,
did you?
Well, I try. I try to step delicately in the the stairs, but then my kids end up at the top of the stairs, like making fun of me and questioning my very existence. And so I'm like, all right, I better get in. And I had to fix a hole in the pool too, so I had this like cool underwater putty. And,
wow.
Yeah, it was really. If it worked, I'd be really amazed because I'm not handy. So we'll see how that goes.
You're like a Navy SEAL down there.
I felt like if I was a Navy SEAL, I'd be the world's worst. Like the whatever I was trying to accomplish, I would end up killing my own, and it would be not so good. It's for the best I didn't enter the military.
Well, like, it's best for us as well.
Yeah, exactly. The wine.
Navy SEAL ever brought me a bottle of wine.
The wine is better in the wine industry, probably. Although it's funny, I have actually a lot of folks who have learned to drink very, very well by being in the military. A lot of my customers like serve time, especially in a lot of them serve time in like the Chateauneuf-du-Pape area. So they were like, oh yeah, I used to drink that every day like water. I'm like, no.
Wow.
There are advantages to being stationed abroad as opposed to somewhere local. So today we're wrapping up Germany, and next week we're going to move on to our month of the Iberian Peninsula, that being Spain and Portugal. Today we're going to talk about the rest of Germany. Last week we talked about Riesling. We had a really, really nice one. We talked a lot about the rules, and of course the Germans, being Germans, have a lot of rules, and they're pretty much based on the same rules that everybody else has, but theirs are much more ein, zwei, which again makes sense knowing their culture. It's a really interesting wine region in Germany. I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday. In a lot of countries, I mean, just because of, I guess, their very nature, they're very large. A lot of their wine regions are very spread out. Germany's are actually fairly compact. You can actually get from one to the other in fairly quick fashion. And for that reason, especially, there's a lot of collaboration. And so a lot of the better wine producers that we tend to work with at the shop all know each other and all started kind of collaborating and going organic and biodynamic at around the same time. And that's certainly the case here. We're drinking today. Last year we drank the rosé of this gentleman. Today we're drinking the red Pinot Noir of this, but it's a Friedrich Becker. And Friedrich Becker is a guy I think I've talked about several times on this program. Because he's kind of fun because half of his vineyards are in Germany and half of them are in Alsace, France, because of course that border has been very fluid over the past several hundred years, and his family's property, you know, it simply was on this side or that side or this side or that side. And Germany is where he officially makes his wine. The French wanted him to pay taxes on his wines that he was making, or the fruit he was taking out, and he said no, and he eventually won, which is really cool. So he makes German Pinot Noirs primarily and other hybrid varietals. And I wanted to talk about the hybrid varietals today as well, because Germany is home to some of the, and indeed the coldest wine region in the world in terms of places where they are growing Vitis vinifera. Those are the non-hybrid grapes that we all like to drink, your Cabs, your Rieslings, your Merlots, your Chardonnays. So it's super cold, very quick ripening season, and of course that's very similar to Maine. And in order to deal with that, there's been a lot of experimentation in the lab to come up with hybrid varietals that are both tasty but also can ripen quickly and are hardy in colder environments. And that has benefited some of our friends here in Maine, Savage Oaks, of course, being one that we've tasted here on air that are using these hybrid varietals. So what hybrid varietals? Well, there's one that's really wonderful and is the basis of the Becker Rosé. It's called Portugieser. And there's also Dornfelder, which is actually the second most planted grape in Germany. It's not, it's Riesling is first, obviously, but then Dornfelder, which is very often made into a semi-sweet red wines, table wine still, they're not like dessert, but so if you ever find those and you're a fan of sweet red wines, and I know there are those of you out there, check out sweet wines made from Dornfelder. It's quite nice. It's, you know, Pinot weight. It's a fairly lightweight grape, but it's very neat. And it was created by a guy named August Herold, and he was at the Institut in Weinsberg in Württemberg, and that was in 1955. And he took a couple of other hybrid varietals to create that, and he came up with something that's very, very drinkable. And so these sort of experiments are happening all over. They happen in the Great Lakes regions. They happen in Austria and Germany and a lot of places where they are trying to create a big wine culture, but of course, you know, haven't naturally stumbled into it just because of the climates. So without further ado, so this Pinot Noir is really, really fantastic. For a long time, you know, you all know that I'm a disciple of Burgundy, and Burgundy is tricky because A, it's quite expensive, and B, it's kind of hard to pin down at a lower price point, but when you start to get right over the German border, which is very, very close to Burgundy and makes really, really wonderful wines also, you're starting to see this cool weather Pinot Noir that's just so very good. So there's a publication named Galt Melau, and Galt Melau is essentially, it's kind of like Wine Spectator and Gourmet Magazine combined, and it's very, very well respected. And they named Friedrich Becker Germany's best Pinot Noir producer 8 out of 9 years in a row. So he obviously knows what he's doing, and it's quite nice. You know, when you smell these Pinot Noirs, in case you're expecting something like really kind of cherry coley and jammy, cherry cola-y, that's not where these are at. These are, you know, dark-toned fruit. They're kind of earthy. They're lean. They're really almost minerally, just like all the other wines from Germany. This wonderful subsoil that gives these things structure. That has the same sort of acidity and beauty. So I really, really encourage you, if you're a Pinot Noir fan, to check some of these out. Maybe you've had the Pinot Noirs of the Willamette Valley, which hue a little bit closer to this style. They're really wonderful. They don't sell for a lot of money, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And I'm going to enjoy one right now.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
Because my mouth is dry.
Mm. What do you think, Gary?
Very good.
And that's a wine, you have it with a little bit of a chill maybe, and it's just absolutely delightful.
Mm.
So this kind of wraps up our tour of Germany and France. It's been a whirlwind a couple of weeks, but there are two countries that I see as hewing very close. Of course, they have a lot of history. We've certainly discussed the various invasions and ugliness that have happened, but when there aren't invasions and ugliness going on, there's still magnificent amounts of traffic that happen between these two countries. A lot of information is exchanged. A lot of very similar climate characteristics are shared. And so if you like the wines of especially northern France, the Champagnes, the Burgundies, the Alsace wines, I encourage you to check out the German wines especially. I won't say they're much maligned in the U.S., but for years we've been trying to get people to drink rosé. Now I think our next great feat is going to be reintroducing the American public to German wines, because it's just killer stuff. So I want to mention next month we have our, so July, we're already heading into July, which is unbelievable to think we have less than a week of June left.
How did that happen?
Oh my goodness. I can't believe, yeah, I mean, my birthday was June 10th and I was sitting there thinking, it feels like yesterday, like, I wonder what I'm going to have for my birthday and blah, blah, blah. And as a matter of fact, I drank German rosé on my birthday.
Mine is Monday. What will I have?
German rosé.
Fabulous.
Every day, German rosé. Mm. So July 20th is going to be our tasting, and we are going to be tasting wines of the Iberian Peninsula, because that's what we'll be talking about. But we are also having a special guest, Abby and Angus from Rocky Ground Cider from Newburgh, Maine. These guys are making traditional ciders in the old style, single batch heirloom ciders made in barrels. Some of them are sparkling, some of them are still. They are all really exciting and wonderful, and will change your opinion on ciders, especially if all you've ever had is, you know, your Angry Orchards and stuff like that. So I do encourage you July 20th to come out from 5 to 7 p.m. And we are trying to set up a bunch of dinners and stuff like that with our good friend Bob and some other folks around town. So stay tuned for those. And I will see you all next week on Downtown.
Fantastic. Thank you, Eric. Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.